From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Now let's join our host, Jim Williams, on ABQ Connect.
Vince Torres is Tiffany's husband, father of two, executive pastor with Blaze Christian Fellowship, and a founding member of the brand new Santa Fe Christian School. Hi, Vince. Welcome to ABQ Connect.
Jim, as always, it's great to be with you.
Man, I'm excited to hear about your school. Tell us about Santa Fe Christian.
Santa Fe Christian is just a wonderful opportunity that God has put in our heart many, many years ago. My wife and I, we started to pray with a few other local couples at the time, but we were all busy raising our small children, and it fizzled for a bit, but then was brought back to life. God continued just to put us on our heart, and so we started working with a couple other local families from a couple churches to just discuss what would it look like for us to start this thing. And so we're very excited to see where God has brought us so far and where he's taken us.
Vince, you have a storied career working in politics, working in ministry. I just mentioned that. Being a father of two, Tiffany will be the principal of your school. Tell us about the churches and the spiritual leadership, the Christian leadership in the community that have come together to help you.
Well, I tell you what, it's been so encouraging, Jim, just to see the support that we've had from the Christian community in Santa Fe. As you mentioned, I'm a pastor of a local church, and even though our church is very much involved in the planting of this school, we are proud and honored to say that we have support from 10 other churches in Santa Fe who have just been incredible, who have come alongside us and helped us not only advertise this, but have provided some financial support and have really just been an encouragement throughout this entire process. As you can imagine, doing something of this magnitude comes with its challenges, but we've had lots of prayerful and financial support along the way, and it's been great to see the city of Santa Fe, specifically the Christian church community, really rally around this effort.
And you're taking applications for enrollment right now?
We are, absolutely. We're currently not only hiring staff, but also accepting letters of intent from interested families and children. All of that information is readily available on our website at santafechristian.org.
So you are taking applications right now for teachers?
We are. We're looking to start this thing in the fall of this year. And so we've already made a few hires. You mentioned my wife already, mm-hmm. who will be leading the school as principal. Very excited for her and what that will mean for the children. She is a gifted teacher, taught for many years before our children were born, and has been homeschooling them for the last few years. And I can tell you, she's just an amazing woman of God who loves children and is going to do an incredible job there. But we are currently looking for teachers. And so if there is anyone listening from the Santa Fe or Albuquerque area that perhaps wants to pursue a career in Christian education, we'd love to hear from you.
Why will this be a good place to teach?
I tell you what, the environment is going to be uniquely Christian. That's the big sell on this. Obviously, we admire and we respect our teachers, and what we really feel is a career that is a calling in the truest sense of the word. But at the same time, this is a uniquely Christian opportunity to come to a school where you can not only teach but bring your faith with you to the classroom, and imagine just the power and the encouragement of being able to teach every subject through the lenses of Scripture and through the truths of the gospel. It's going to be absolutely incredible.
You know, Vince, I've shared this with you before. I have five children. They've all graduated. They all were lifelong students at a Christian school here in Albuquerque, Hope Christian School. Mm-hmm. And they all went on to success in college. In fact, we just graduated my youngest daughter from nursing school. So I've had people come up to me and go, "Hey, what is it with you and the public schools?" And I said, "Look, I don't have anything against public schools. I'm a product of the public schools. But what I wanted for my children is I wanted them on a daily basis, an hourly basis, every minute to be able at any time to talk about their faith in light of what was happening in the world and current events and in light of history, in light of science, in light of whatever they were talking about." So I think the option for Christian education is really a neat thing, and I know it's important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that you're touching on that's very important is, you know, we love our public schools. We support our public schools. My daughter went to public school for several years and had a great experience at an elementary school in Santa Fe. Great teachers, great principal, great staff. And so, again, the effort behind this is not we want to just pull all of our kids out of public schools and send them to private Christian institutions. But for those parents, you know, like us, who want to have that faith component, who want our children learning again through everything being taught through the lenses of Scripture and through the truth of God's Word. This is a great opportunity for that. It's going to be a nice small school, small teacher to student ratio, looking at maybe 12 to 15 kids per grade. So think of the extra investment that that teacher is going to be able to make in the classroom. And I think the other thing that you touched on, Jim, that's very important is that faith component, especially as it relates to our younger kids. You know, the Scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of knowledge. And so I heard one preacher say, can we legitimize any form of education that does not begin with a healthy acknowledgement of God? If the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, then if we start from a place that does not acknowledge God, then can it truly be wisdom or knowledge? And so what we want to do is bring our kids in each and every day to start with a time of prayer, to start with a time in God's Word, and then release them so our teachers can continue to equip them and basically their whole life, spiritually, academically, socially, and physically through the truths of God's Word. But the other important thing I will say is that we really see this relationship with these kids as a partnership between our school and parents. It is not our job foremost to do the training and upbringing of children. That lies with mom and dad at home or with the grandparents, whoever are raising that child. But Santa Fe Christian wants to then come alongside and partner with parents to train their children in the truths of God's Word.
Again, not disparaging public schools, but there is a big difference between parental involvement in public schools and those schools encouraging parent involvement and with what you'll be doing at Santa Fe Christian.
Parental involvement is absolutely critical. I mean, again, it's as parents, it's our responsibility first to bring our children up, to raise them, to teach them. And any sort of education that they receive in a school, be it private or public or Christian, should be supplementing what's already happening at home. And I think especially here in New Mexico, where you have seen our numbers consistently dwindling, we tend to rank at the bottom of education. It's very easy just to kind of throw all of the mud, if you will, at the teachers or at the administrations or at the public education department or the government. But I think one of the things parents have to step back and say is, are we doing our job? Are we doing our job? Are we doing things in home, you know, before they ever leave school and when they come home to make sure that our kids are excelling? And if we're not, I think that's one of the quickest ways that we can actually turn education around in New Mexico is to encourage parents to be much more proactive in the education of their kids.
I've had people tell me, look, if you're in Christian education, there's a lot of biases. And I look at them and I say, the exact opposite is true. Here's an example. On this program, I have creation scientists. I have anthropologists, you know, Dr. Stephen Collins and Dr. Gary Byers and their discoveries at Tell al-Hammam, the ancient city of Sodom, and they have scientifically uncovered the destruction layer, which fits right in with the biblical story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We hear about evolution all the time, and evolution is taught in our public schools. And I just have to say this, there is no science to evolution. Absolutely none. I mean, there is no transition of the species. There's no, quote, missing link. I can't help but read Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So again, in Christian education, you're going to approach science from, you're not going to just say God doesn't exist because you don't want him. You're going to examine the world and acknowledge that there's a creator because you see him and are not required to omit him.
That's right. That's right. I mean, there is no bias in truth. And ultimately, that's why Santa Fe Christian seeks to exist, is to share the truth with our kids so that they can understand that who they are and who they were created to be. They were not victims of an experiment. They were not randomly created, that each and every one of them was created in God's image with a purpose of eternal significance. And I think that does contrast with many of the messages that are being communicated to our kids, especially in the upper grades, about their existence. I mean, where is the value in learning that you are just somehow a byproduct of the evolutionary process versus a message that tells you, no, you were created by a divine being who had a specific purpose for your life. And I think that's where some of our kids are at record numbers falling into states of depression and anxiety. They're really looking for purpose. And it's the purpose that you and I both know can truly only be found in Jesus Christ. And that's what we seek to teach our kids at Santa Fe Christian.
There are parents right now listening to the show that are saying, gee, I've got my kids in public school or public education, And what would be the questions they need to ask as they're maybe considering doing something with Santa Fe Christian School?
Well, obviously, you know, every parent wants to know, are we putting our children in a safe environment? And there's lots of information available at our website. We have a great team that we've put together. We're finalizing some appointments to our school board that will be coming together relatively quickly. But lots of the questions to – lots of the answers to questions that we receive are available on our website. We also are extremely active on social media. If you email us, if you reach out to us, we will get back to you. And so if you have questions about, you know, what sort of curriculum is going to be used, is the school going to be accredited, what's the safety, you know, protocol at the school, what's the student-to-teacher ratio, all of those things we're happy to address one-on-one. But I think one thing I can share with all the parents who are listening in and potentially interested is – you know, just give us a shout. You know, we'd love to talk with you over the phone and again, answer any questions that you may have and even get together with you and walk through some of the concerns.
How do they get in touch with you? Is there an email option or do they call?
The best way to get a hold of us is actually by email. Our email address is info@santafechristian.org. Or you can also just go to our website, santafechristian.org, click on the Contact Us tab at the very, very top, and that will come directly to my wife, who will be glad to respond.
We are talking this afternoon with Vince Torres. He is one of the founding members of Santa Fe Christian School. When we come back, we're going to talk about their facility at First Baptist Church and the neat way that church has provided the opportunity for this school to get started grades K through 6.
That's our hope.
We'll be back with Vince Torres. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
The desire to fit in, to be thought of as normal, is a basic human instinct. But would you believe that children as young as 3 years old already want to follow the crowd and fit in with the group? That's what researchers found in a Duke University study. Yet in the Bible, we learn that some of the people who've made the most impact have done so by defying normal. Here's Skip Heitzig.
I think the Bible calls us to a holy defiance of the status quo. Paul the Apostle said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind."
So what does it take to go from conformed to transformed? Find out in Pastor Skip's book, Defying Normal. Our thanks to you when you give $35 or more to help expand this Bible teaching ministry. And when you give today, we'll also include the booklet, What on Earth Am I Here For? By Rick Warren. Get your copies of these two bold resources when you call 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
Hi, this is Jim Williams. Mission New Mexico Spotlight Ministry for May is across nations, equipping Native America to exalt Jesus, encounter His goodness, and extend His kingdom. Here's Across Nations General Director Chuck Harper.
We used to be called the Navajo Bible School and Mission. Then it was Western Indian Ministries. Today we're called Across Nations. We really believe that the Navajo Church should be really at the forefront of sending people to other countries. We've seen so many open doors for the gospel to go to other countries with Navajo people taking the lead. The Navajo Church won't become a strong church until it becomes a sending church.
Across Nations efforts include jail ministry, addiction recovery, Awana groups, workshops, youth outreach, and more. Find information and show your support at acrossnations.cc. That's acrossnations.cc.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
First Baptist Church of Santa Fe is going to be the new site of Santa Fe Christian School.
Yes, it is.
Are you excited?
We're very, very excited.
I mean, I looked at the pictures. It looks really great.
Yeah, First Baptist Church of Santa Fe has a storied history. In our beautiful city. It has been there for a long time, just a magnificent building. Most folks
beautiful
have
Pueblo
either,
style
yeah,
building.
Absolutely. Most folks have driven by it, and if they haven't, they would know it if they saw a picture. And I tell you, the leader there, the pastor, Reed Redis, is a dear friend of mine and has just been incredibly supportive in this endeavor. This was something that one of our founding families, Dave and Kat Custrid, brought to us as a potential option. They're members there at First Baptist. And when they started going through the process and speaking with their members and their deacons and their board of directors, something amazing happened, Jim, and that was they came back and said, look, we'd love to house you. And we said, great, well, what's that going to cost? You know, so we can make sure that we have the money in place to do that. And then they said, you know what, we want to do this so we can support the school. So we're going to happily house you for 2 to 3 years, rent free. And this is just part of us, you know, lending our building to something that we really believe in, that we want to support. And so to all the folks from First Baptist Church of Santa Fe, thank you for your support. We wouldn't be where we are at without you. And with that, I will ask for a prayer request real quick, if
yes.
I may, that, you know, our one of our other founding families, Ryan and Deanne Chavez, they have a very important meeting this evening before a county board regarding a special use permit that we need for the building. And so we are certainly asking for God's provision and making sure that permit goes through so that we can jump into that church here in a matter of weeks and start getting things ready for the fall.
Well, I've been there a couple of times. I've gone to a couple of weddings, and from what I recall, nice parking, nice, easy transition to drop students off during the week as I'm visualizing it, but also not real hard to secure.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's going to be a nice, safe place.
It absolutely is. And I mean, you could argue that the church was actually built to house, you know, something like this. They have beautiful classrooms. They have a gymnasium. And again, as you mentioned, just the logistics of how things are absolutely perfect for this type of thing. So we're thankful for the investment that the great people at First Baptist Church of Santa Fe are making into Santa Fe Christian. It's really going to allow us to do something that may not have been feasible this year had we not had that offer from them.
Yeah, it's neat how God puts all that together. But it's also, especially to me, I love to see the Christian community working together. You know, I don't know why we don't all work together more. COVID kind of brought a lot of churches together. We were feeding populations together. We were doing projects and things just to help people. Nobody had any turf that they were worried about. And Vince, this is particularly pointed to me that the Christian community in Santa Fe has come together. You've said as many as 10 churches. I hope there's 50 churches by the time you're done. And I hope that the community is just going to be blessed as you see kids grow up again. Kindergarten through sixth grade, taking applications now at santafechristian.org. And you can also email info@santafechristian.org if you need more information, and somebody will return your call.
Absolutely. And on that note, Jim, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more on the unity component here. Traditionally, what you've seen, and I know Calvary has a great elementary school that they started here. Very excited for that. And traditionally, that has been kind of more of the process, as you have a church that starts a school. Hope is one example of being, you know, something different,
something separate,
an independent entity that is supported by the greater church community. And that's what we really wanted Santa Fe Christian to be. And on that note, I'll just give a shout out to a handful of churches and pastors who have been extremely supportive of us, including, you know, even Pastor Skip, who I've talked to about the school and has been very supportive of our efforts. And your principal here, Bernadette Schanneberger, which, by the way, she was my principal back in high school. And so we even have a connection there. But in Santa Fe, Ascent Bible Church, Pastor John Romero, Blaze Christian Fellowship, Pastor Carlos Montoya, Christ Church, Pastor Greg Schneeberger, Christian Life, Pastor Brian Hallmark, El Dorado Community Church, Pastor Guy Kintella, First Baptist Church, Pastor Reed Redis, The Grove, Pastor Eric Montoya, The Light, Pastor Ron Sebesta, People's Church, Pastor Bob Baca, Redemption Anglican, Pastor Kempton Jackson, and Vineyard Christian Fellowship, Pastor Larry Toledo. These are all pastors and churches that have really come alongside us, and we're just so thankful for their prayers and support.
Yeah, and you see families in each one of those churches, and they have reasons that they want their kids in Christian education.
Absolutely. And lots of parents, lots of grandparents.
And in my opinion, it's less about anything negative about public education. It's just what I will call enhancements that are available through Christian education.
Yeah, again, you know, I don't take an any shots at our public education. It's absolutely necessary. We need our public schools to be extremely successful here in New Mexico, because a private education is not currently an option for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the things that we'd love to see is just a greater commitment to improving the quality of education across the board. I don't care whether you're a private school, a charter school, or a public school. We see the need. We see the data. We see the numbers. But again, I think it gets back to talking about the impact of the family. And it's much easier to point fingers, you know, at districts and institutions and politics. But again, we need to have a serious conversation about what it looks like to promote healthy families here in New Mexico, where mom and dad are single moms, are single dads, or grandparents are proactively involved in the education of their kids and taking that role seriously.
That statement you just made, though, is not just about Santa Fe Christian School. You make that statement to legislators all the time, Vince.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, our leadership in our state, they need to get back to families.
You know, you look, Jim, at some of the struggles that are continually facing New Mexicans here, you know, issues of, you know, poverty, issues related to education. So many of those, yeah, we can continue to bandage them, and we try to fix them through public policies and other things that we do. But if we ever really want to get to the root of what is likely not a wound in need of a Band-Aid, but a wound in need of some surgery.
Yes.
That's where we have to talk about the breakdown of the family, you know? And it's not reasonable for us to expect to send a kid to a school and for that teacher, with the amount of time that they have with that student, in addition to the 25 or 30 kids also in that classroom, to truly have a lasting, meaningful impact if that teacher is not also supported by family members in the greater community.
Vince, you mentioned that there are a number of schools that the public judged as not having handled COVID very effectively. Well, San Francisco's a case in point. Nancy Pelosi's district, they voted out three of their board members because they were busy changing the names, cancel culture type changes to the names of schools that were named after people that somehow were deemed not worthy to have those names on the schools anymore. And the public came back and said, forget about all that. We want our children back in class in person. And so they voted in three board members that would accomplish just that.
Yeah, I think that our expectation of our institutions, of our schools, is that they would be operating always in the best interest of students. And I think that, you know, in some cases, COVID exposed that may not always be the case. And I know the parents that I've spoken to who have expressed some frustration for various reasons, it really comes back to that. I don't feel that in this situation or that situation that they were actually acting in the best interest of the kids, but they were acting in the best interest of the politics or the administrations or other things. And so I think it's an important reminder for any of us who are involved in education in any capacity that at the end of the day, we have to first be thinking about the kids and what's best for them.
Do you think that public schools, charter schools, and private schools, even though they're separate, they can work together to benefit children in New Mexico?
Of course, absolutely. And they have to. Again, you know, private school, even charter school, because of the limitation on enrollment and certain caps that are in place, is just not an option for every family. And so our public schools need to be successful. And I think our schools should be working together. And you see plenty of opportunities where that is happening. You know, you have some public schools that have even opened up their sports programs to kids attending charter schools or private schools that may not have sports programs. That sort of partnership, again, we're thinking about the best interest of the kids. Those are the sorts of things that I think are really great and show a commitment to making sure that kids have the best opportunities that we can possibly provide them.
You talked about Bernadette Schanenberger. What kind of education did you have, Vince? Tell us a little bit about your history.
Yes, so I grew up in the beautiful Espanola Valley and attended Pewaukee Elementary School and Middle School. I transferred to Calvary Christian Academy, which was a private school.
By the way, is that area your old neighborhood affected by the fires?
No, thankfully yeah. Not, but we certainly want to keep our friends up north, especially in San Miguel and Mora County right now, just battling these fires. But I grew up in Espanola, went to Pewaukee for elementary and middle school, great public schools. When I was in high school, my mom decided that she wanted us to get us into Christian education. So I attended Calvary Christian Academy in Santa Fe along with my sister and had a great, great time there. And that's where I was introduced to Bernadette Schanneberger. Mm-hmm. So I am the beneficiary of both great public education, but also great private Christian education. And as I mentioned with you, it's going to be the same for my daughter. You know, she went to pre-K and kindergarten and first grade in our public school there in Santa Fe and had a wonderful experience. And our hope is that she too would be a great beneficiary of quality public education and quality private Christian education.
You know, many times I talk to people that are involved in the church and their church may not spend a lot of time helping people as they grow up, you know, 13, 14, 15 year olds find out what's God's calling on your life. How are you spiritually gifted? And it sounds like you're going to be working on that much earlier at Calvary, at Santa Fe Christian School.
Absolutely. I think one of the realities, Jim, and I know you'll agree with me on this, but some of those middle school conversations that you and I had when we were growing up are now happening much, much, much earlier. Our young kids are being exposed to serious conversations much earlier in their life, in some cases even in the classroom without any sort of parental warning or notification. And so that's also a concern. You know, I think we're having lots of conversation right now nationally, which is a good thing, about age-appropriate content, age-appropriate curriculum. And I think that's an important thing to take into consideration. And so, yes, at Santa Fe Christian, our hope and prayer is that God would use us, again, partnering with parents to begin to have some of these important worldview questions about the meaning of life and the meaning of so many other things.
And Vince, you're not really separating private schools from public schools when you talk about some of these issues. Like, for example, in Florida, they have made it a law that you're not going to talk to 2- and 3-year-olds about sex.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine why you would want to.
It's a good question. It's a good question. I think that, again, one of the things that we have to be very careful about, especially in the day and age of technology where so much of this is readily available, is that we're not removing some of that innocence from our children. I want my kids to be able to go to elementary school. My son is 5. He'll be going into kindergarten. I want him to go to kindergarten and to be able just to be a kindergartner, to have fun, to play, to learn, to count, you know, to learn his letters and stuff that my wife is already working with him on. I don't want him to have to go in and make serious life decisions about who he is and his identity at a time when he's not even thinking through those things.
Sure.
And again, many of these kids are not going to bring it up until it's introduced into the classroom. And so I do think there's a great argument to be made that everything that we should be doing should be age appropriate. And we should also be involving parents in those conversations because, again, it's their responsibility.
Well, and the fact that there are any conversations going on with, if I have a child in a school, I don't care if it's public or private, I better be involved with every conversation, not just the ones about sex, not just, you know, things that we might consider to be taboo in some way, but I want to be involved in all the conversations.
Absolutely.
And I think that's best for the child. Of course, I'm one of those little bit OCD parents that had his kids doing about a zillion things in athletics and other things. So I learned some lessons too, Vince, over the years. You know, I mean, we did every volleyball tournament, every basketball tournament, every dance ensemble we could possibly do, every cheerleading competition. And I sometimes wish I would have taken a day off and taken my kids camping, you know. So but these are just lessons that I'm talking about. We're with Vince Torres. He's a founding member of Santa Fe Christian School. His wife, Tiffany, is going to be involved as the principal of the school. He has 2 children that will be attending Santa Fe Christian. I'm so blessed by the list of churches that you've already mentioned and all the leadership in Santa Fe for all of that. And I think that's exactly the kind of thing that we need to do to just raise up leaders.
Amen.
And people that are going to come and take care of Santa Fe proper, right?
Amen.
We'll be back with Vince Torres right after these messages.
When were angels created? This is Ken Ham, CEO of the Ministry of Answers in Genesis and the Ark Encounter. The Bible tells us exactly on which days of creation that light, dry land, sea creatures, and man were created. But it doesn't say when angels were created. Now we know they were created by God. The Bible says God created all things, including all things invisible and principalities and powers. The book of Job describes the angels celebrating when God laid the foundations of the earth. That was either on day one, when God created the earth, or day three, when God created the dry land. We can't know for sure on which day angels were created, but it's likely it was on either day one or day three. But what we do know for sure is that God made all things in 6 days.
Have more questions? Get answers when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com. You'll find answers to questions about science, the Bible, creation, and more at AnswersRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Kabir and his family were attending church at a nearby village in India. Just as the service began, about 50 members of a Hindu extremist group interrupted. The extremists, known as Vishav Hindu Parishad, threatened to burn down the church, then called the police with false accusations against the pastor. Soon after the police arrived, Kabir's neighbor ran to the church to inform him that his house had been burned to the ground. Kabir and his 23 family members returned to their home and found it destroyed, along with their recently harvested crops and other belongings. Please pray for housing, food, and continued faith for all of Kabir's family.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Santa Fe Christian School is going to begin operations having students in August.
Yes, sir.
2022. If you have any questions at all for Vince this afternoon, please call us at 505-338-5790. Happy for you to talk to Vince. I was just thinking off the air, Vince, and I mentioned to you before we came on that you might have a unique opportunity in art classes in Santa Fe. I mean, you've got some artisans in Santa Fe that are just off the chart world class.
Yeah, absolutely. Santa Fe is, you know, widely regarded as, you know, one of the most artistic cities in the entire country and in some cases the world. And so, we look forward to helping, expose our children to some of the local talent that exists.
Yeah. Music as well.
Music, absolutely. Music was a big part of my upbringing. In fact, I would say that through some of my confusing years when I was a teenager and trying to figure out who I was and what I wanted to do with my life, it was really music that kept me active in the local church. And so I love music. I'm a musician myself. And in fact, both my children are lovers of music. My mom teaches music. And so we're really excited to offer that to our kids as well.
Yeah, and I think that these are all just opportunities that I guess you have opportunities in public education, but to do this through the lens of Jesus is a unique opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, who was the greatest artist of all time? I think, you know, as New Mexicans, we have a front seat to that work every time the sun sets here. You know, our God is just an amazing artist. He is also the one that gave us music and all of these wonderful things. And again, it gets back to the conversation that we were, you know, previously having a little bit. Again, everything that we teach can be taught through the idea of creation. You know, why does science make sense? Why does math make sense? Because we have a God who is a God of order and constructed the world in such a way that operates in a very, very factual way. In fact, you all had Eric Metaxas here not too long ago, and I remember listening to that and Eric talking about how, you know, if certain numbers in the universe were just slightly deviated, you know, we would implode or we would explode. I mean, the precision that exists all points to a creator God. And so when you think of the things that we can teach in all of these various subjects, when you look at the different languages that exist, the scriptural backing for why we have as many languages as we do, there's all these wonderful stories throughout scripture that, again, show the divine intention of a loving God who has purpose for each and every one of us.
Again, I go back to that earlier statement about a bias in Christian education. If there's a bias, it's a bias toward the whole truth.
Yes.
Eric Metaxas's book is about, is atheism dead? And his argument is, yes, it absolutely is, because there's not an intellectual argument. There's not a spiritual argument. There's not even an emotional argument you can make for somebody saying that God does not exist.
Well, I think as Eric pointed out in that message, if you look at all of the progress that has been made in the scientific realm over the last 50 years, it has actually further pushed the idea that that creation exists, that there is a creator. And so again, as science continues to catch up, with what we learn in scripture, I think it's just a fascinating opportunity that we have to point our kids, you know, to those sorts of truths and say, no, everything that exists was created by this God. And by the way, you are one of his special creations. In fact, you are his most special creation because you alone of everything that he created were created in his image.
I mentioned to you before we started today that I thought having my children in Christian education helped me as a parent. It almost gave me more to talk to my kids about, especially once they got into, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, middle school, and then early years of high school. We could talk about current events in light of what they were learning in school.
Yeah, I think that's there's a misconception out there that I think finally is being put away, and Eric mentioned this, and that is that, you know, as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, that somehow we're afraid of education, we're afraid of science, and nothing could be further from the truth, because in many cases, education and science have served as powerful tools to substantiate what the scripture has told us. And so I think when we talk about some of those conversations with our kids, I have, you know, my wife and I have some deeply profound conversations with our 5 and 9-year-olds sometimes, that it's just amazing to me the sort of questions that the power of the Holy Spirit is already putting into their heads about existence, and about purpose, and about what happens after you die, and why was I created, you know, and why did God make me this way? Why did he create the world this way? Why did he put a tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden to begin with, if he knew that we were going to mess that one up? So again, these are all questions that I think we don't always give our children credit for the level of wisdom that they already have at these young ages. And as you know, being a father of several children, they're sponges right now. They're just taking everything in. And the question that I think we have to raise is, if they are taking everything in, what is the content? What is the proportion of content that they are taking in? Is it more secular and worldly, or is it more gospel and biblical? And again, their day-to-day education is a great opportunity to show them through reading, writing, arithmetic, that no, there's meaning and purpose behind all of this.
Here's one of the conversations that I had with my oldest son, who's now 30, when I can't remember if he was a fifth or a sixth grader, but he said, Dad, and you know, he's a pretty smart guy for the age he was. He said, Dad, what's a specific reason that evolution is not, you know, true? And I said, well, let me give you an example. I said, mutations are required as a mechanism to make evolution work. You have to mutate one form into another.
Transitional forms.
Transitional forms. Mm-hmm. And there are 7 reasons why mutations are not an adequate mechanism. Number one, mutations that happen for the positive benefit of an organism are rare. Now, we have all kinds of mutations, like COVID. We've just seen that with the virus. But that doesn't necessarily make the virus stronger. They're just mutations. And then our bodies handle them differently, and we could see that play out, that it became weaker, and there may be some mutations that make it stronger. But those kinds of things, anything that is to the benefit of the organism is rare. Number two, they're unpredictable. In other words, a one-celled living organism doesn't evolve into Tom Brady. Okay? Nothing happens in a specific order. Number three, and I've already kind of mentioned this, is mutations are usually harmful. They're pathological in the sense that they harm the organism. Like if a fish all of a sudden grew, instead of a fin, a foot out of the top of it, it couldn't swim and it'd then be destroyed. So these all kind of are together. There's a genetic burden that is accumulated in an organism. That's why today you can't have family members having children together, because there's a genetic burden and the organisms are weakened and destroyed because of it. The other thing is there is information lost. We know about this DNA strand. Mm-hmm. So this is where you start getting mathematicians and stuff involved. And these are the kinds of things that when you bring them before a scientist, when you bring them before a mathematician, it's exactly what you said. There is undeniable evidence for the existence of a creator. And yet, secular public education will not allow students to look at that.
In many cases, yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the concerning things that we've seen over the years is that some of these scientific advancements aren't seeming to make their way into our modern day textbooks. And again, because it doesn't necessarily go with the narrative that wants to be espoused by, you know, Gnostics and atheists. And so, you know, one of the things I will say about my own personal Christian education in high school and even the Christian education I received in college, that I truly appreciated is there wasn't just an emphasis on learning what we believe and why we believe it. There was also ample time spent on here's what we do not believe and here's why we don't believe that. And so the idea that, you know, Christian education is only offering a one-sided approach to these important issues regarding creation and other things is just patently false. If anything, I think a quality Christian education is apologetic in nature, and that it's not only preparing you to defend what you believe, but also understanding what the other side believes so that you can effectively have those conversations with them.
Vince, you're a little too young to remember the Jesus music movement. Now, I know you've probably listened to a lot of Jesus music. But, you know, the movie came out, Jesus Music, and there's been others that have been talking about it. As you were talking about yourself being a musician, I saw a huge transformation in Christian music between singing hymnals and things, and then all of a sudden you had, like, the Maranatha Singers that Chuck Smith started out in California. Now you have groups like Passion and the Jesus culture. I mean, you can just go across the list. There's all kinds of really amazing musicians out there. But then you even have, like, I remember, and I don't know if you knew Paul Scazzafava very well, who was pastor of up at Santa Fe Calvary Church. Paul was a speed metal Christian musician. And I used to go, oh, man, I don't know if that's what people should listen to. Man, I went to a couple of Paul's concerts, and he had a band called Rapture. And this guy would lead kids to Christ. And his technical ability on a guitar was just fascinating. So once I understood what he was doing, I could really see just God using that in an amazing way. I didn't understand it at first, so I was afraid of it. And so many times we're like that. But when you go to a place like Santa Fe Christian School, you overcome those fears. And you do what God is calling you to do.
Absolutely. And that's our hope, is that, you know, with the limited amount of time that we have with these students, is that God would use us just to make an eternal impact in their life. You know, I look back on my education and can think back to some of my high school teachers specifically that just had these were Christian men and women who had such a profound impact in my life. I think of Victor Lucero and Francis Berunda and Bernadette Schanneberger and Scott Gaudet and, you know, Ed Phillips. I mean, I can go on and on about all of these teachers who just had such a tremendous impact, who when I came into their classroom, I understood that I was much more than just a number or a student to them. These were people who really saw their teaching role as something that was ministerial in their calling. They were much more than teachers. They were helping shape my understanding of the world. They were helping shape my theology, helping to build my faith. And again, that's the same sort of impact that we are hoping that our teachers at Santa Fe Christian will have with our kids, starting at the age of five all the way up until God takes them to their next level of education.
Now, having been through all of that as a student and now being a parent and a founder of a school, how was it selecting the curriculum and designing the path, the teaching path?
Well, I tell you, my background is not education, as you know. You know, I'm a pastor, and I also work in state government, and so that's my area. But I will say, you know, my wife has a history in education. She was educated in family and child development at Liberty University, where the two of us met. Spent time in the classroom, actually helping children for many years who had behavioral issues, and would sit one-on-one with them as a clinician. And then when we moved to Santa Fe, took a job at what was then Mission Viejo Christian Academy, which was one of the only Christian schools that we had in Santa Fe then. Unfortunately, it has since closed. And so really what we're looking at doing is starting something just that no longer exists, and that's Christian education in Santa Fe. We have some great Catholic schools. This will be a little bit different. But my wife has that background, and again, she has just had some tremendous support. She's been in great meetings with Bernadette Schanneberger here at Calvary Elementary. She's met with the folks at Hope, who have been extremely, extremely helpful. She's talked to the folks at Mesilla Valley Christian in Las Cruces, who I know you mentioned John Foreman earlier.
Yes.
All of these Christian schools in the area have really just come alongside us and basically said, we're happy to help any way that we can. And so her background, her education, her experience combined with the support of some of these other very successful schools has really put us on a pathway where we're starting to make some final decisions on curriculums and accreditation and all those sorts of things. And again, just very encouraging to see how the Christian community has surrounded us and supported us.
And teachers can apply if they're interested in teaching, and they can go to santafechristian.org or email info@santafechristian.org.
Yes, sir.
We'll be back with Vince Torres for one more segment. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Steve Russo with Real Answers.
Mervin is a friend of mine and part of the search and rescue team. Throughout the year, they are called upon to rescue people from a variety of menacing situations. These calls for help never come at very convenient times, yet the team is committed to rescuing those in trouble. Imagine being called out late at night to rescue someone missing in the snow-filled mountains. It would be unthinkable for Mervin and others to go to this extreme for someone who was safe and well. Instead, they focus all their energies on someone who might die if they aren't rescued in time. It's easy to recognize someone dying physically, but what about those dying spiritually? All around us are people without Christ who need to be rescued. Let's be part of God's search and rescue team. Remember, the stakes are heaven and hell.
Life is a spiritual battle. Arm yourself with Real Answers. Visit the Real Answers website for resources that can help. RealAnswers.com.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we are all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Rochelle.
I want to encourage you in your leadership, number one, to question everything and be willing to change anything. If your leadership strategy is similar today to the way it was before the pandemic started, you probably have a very bad strategy because the world is very, very different. Let the numbers speak to you. Know your numbers, study your numbers, look at your numbers, let the numbers speak. The numbers almost always tell the truth. And that makes me pause and question everything. What about this strategy do we still like? What needs to change in your leadership? Because we're in a very different world. Question everything and ask yourself, what do we need to change? Do we need to change our structure? Do we change our strategy? How has your core business changed?
That was Craig Rochelle with a KLYT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Santa Fe Christian School is starting up here this August, just in a couple of months. They're taking applications now for students chasing after the best in teachers that want to be part of this exciting Christian education opportunity in Santa Fe. Vince Torres, founding member with Santa Fe Christian School in studio. Vince, how can our listeners help?
I tell you, right now, in addition to their prayers and an interest in the school, our teaching positions and obviously enrolling students. One of the things that we could really use help right now is just with our funding. We had a very successful fundraiser that so many folks contributed to. We're very thankful for. You remember we raffled off that beautiful Camaro.
Camaro, yeah.
And just very thankful for the response to that. But right now we are in the process of starting a real fundraising campaign to make sure that we're financially healthy so that we can not only operate this year but begin to plan for a more permanent location in Santa Fe. And so if anyone is interested, we have what's called our Founder Circle, where we are currently taking donations. If you can contribute at one of the levels, we would appreciate it. And, you know, those levels start at $250 and go up from there. But any donation of any amount is appreciated. And if you go to santafechristian.org, there's a link at the very top that says donate. You can click there and give. As a nonprofit, our gifts are tax deductible. So feel free to take advantage of that. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to us.
When you think back to your Christian education, what's probably the most enjoyable thing, and when you relate that to maybe the funding that somebody in the church gave to help you have that experience, how important was it?
Incredibly important. You know, I think back to the opportunities that I have, and, you know, foremost, I think of my mom. I know that folks listening may be thinking to themselves, I don't know if I can afford this. And that's a reasonable question and thought to have. But having been raised by a single mom who was on a single income household, she somehow managed to sacrifice and to send two kids, not one, but two kids to private school. And I tell you what, I just saw the Lord just bless that sacrifice. And no matter what happened, we always seem to have not only what we needed, but even just a little bit more at times. And I think that was just a testament to God rewarding my mom's faithfulness to make the sacrifices that were needed to make sure that we had a quality Christian education. I also think at the time of the folks who were part of the church, who helped support the school, who kept it reasonable, you know, so that people like my mom could afford it. I think of scholarships, you know, that I was the beneficiary of. And that's one other way that local churches can help Santa Fe Christian. If you'd like to establish a line item in your budget for scholarships for our students, or if you would just like to include us in your missions budget, we would greatly appreciate that. And it's something that I can tell you is certainly needed in Santa Fe. One of the things that God put on our heart when we began to put this school together, is that it was going to be a traditional Monday through Friday, you know, 8 a.m. until, you know, early afternoon, that it wasn't going to be a hybrid. And not because we had anything against these hybrid, you know, combination of in-school and homeschool, but over the COVID pandemic, we saw how that disproportionately impacted some families, especially our single parents,
yes,
who were constantly trying to figure out how to navigate that thing. And so we wanted to make it as easy as we could for parents, in that regard, that it wouldn't overly conflict with their work schedule so they can afford to do this for their kids. But also we wanted to make sure that anyone who wanted to go to Santa Fe Christian, could have that opportunity. And so my church, for example, has established a separate bank account, to offer scholarships to some of the kids in our school, in our church who want to attend the school. We have some commitments from some other churches that are looking at the same thing. And so if there are only any pastors or elders or deacons listening in and wondering, well, maybe, you know, you're not even in Santa Fe. Maybe you're here in Albuquerque or Rio Rancho or you're down south, but you want to help contribute to a Christian school in Santa Fe, New Mexico, please reach out. I'd love to have that conversation with you.
I've got another idea for you. I had a guest back in February. Her name is Carolyn Fittipaldi. She is with the New Mexico Education Trust Board, and they have a plan called the 529 School Savings Plan. Now, if a family wants to get together, identify a student, family members can all contribute tax-deductible gifts to this 529 plan for that student. Now, the only thing that's different when you're funding private education, elementary, middle school levels, you don't get the tax deduction, but any family member, even friends, can contribute to this, and it creates a growing fund that's, you know, investment and so on and so forth. In a very short time, you probably could provide all the funding you need to get from first through sixth grade. It's called the 529 plan. I'm going to have Carolyn call you about that.
Yeah, I have 529 accounts for both my kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when my wife and I started putting a little bit of money in there every month, you know, we had in mind their college education. Jim, this is not a formal position that I'm taking.
Sure.
Here. It's just a suggestion, but, to the parents that are listening, I'd encourage you to think this through with me. And I would argue and suggest that in the day and age in which we live, where your kid attends elementary, middle, and high school is much more important than where they attend college. Now, again, I may get some strong pushback on that, but I'm just saying when it comes to how our young minds are being shaped, that primary education is far more important than higher education, and there's data to actually support that. There was a Barna study that was put out recently that said basically a kid's worldview is almost completely shaped by the time they hit the age of 13. So long before they've ever stepped foot into some liberal professor's college campus or some conservative Christian college, Barna study would suggest that their worldview has already been shaped. And so maybe some of that money that you were thinking you wanted to, you know, dump that 80 grand of their college education, I'm just going to make a respectful argument that would be much better fit putting them into a Christian private school, an elementary school, a middle school, or high school, where their minds can be molded through the truth of God's word.
And I can't think of a better way for our listeners. And that's why people listen, Vince. I mean, people listen to this with an agenda. It's not background noise. They're listening to world-class Bible teaching all day long. They're listening to conversations like we're having right now because they want to know about charitable organizations that are doing great things for kids and for parents. And Santa Fe Christian School meets all of those criteria.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think as Tiffany's moving forward, she's, I'm sure, trying to get the best teacher she possibly can. What kind of people is she looking for, Vince? I mean, obviously you need to have a faith in Jesus to be part of the staff there.
That's the big prerequisite. You know, we want people who love the Lord foremost and who also love kids. because we are a private school, a teacher licensure is not required. And so you need to have your undergraduate degree. And I know that's sometimes news for most people that think, well, I'd love to do something like that, but I don't have my teaching license. When it comes to private education here in New Mexico, that's not a requirement. So as long as you have your undergraduate bachelor's degree in a particular field, we'd love to hear from you. And in fact, we have heard from some folks recently who, weren't necessarily looking to going into teaching, but have since realized that that's where there is a significant need and have really started to see it as a missional opportunity. Those are some folks that are reaching out to us. And so we're currently hiring. We're currently interviewing. And again, all that information is available on the homepage of our website at santafechristian.org.
So Vince, if somebody's considering right now, hey, I really think this is a great idea, love to see this happening, you're going to probably have people from families outside of Santa Fe, like maybe as far away as Pewaukee, coming into Santa Fe. There's all kinds of outlying areas in those beautiful mountains surrounding yeah. Santa Fe. So you're probably inviting people from Pecos and other areas to join you as well.
We absolutely do. We tried to put one of the benefits of First Baptist Church is it's centrally located. It's easily accessible, whether you're coming in from the south side of Santa Fe or coming in from up north. You mentioned, Pewaukee Pueblo. I know many of our tribes, nations, and pueblos actually fully fund any of their tribal members' children to go to private school. So I do expect we'll have some kids from up north, and we're excited for that. Again, the purpose for this school is, one of the things I said at the onset is I didn't want it to be a country club school where only the wealthiest could afford to go. We wanted to make this open to anybody that wanted to take part in a Christian education. And so we're working hard to that end. A lot of that will depend on the funds that we raise so that we can keep our costs relatively, reasonable so people can afford it. And again, if that's something that you would like to contribute to, again, we'd encourage you to reach out to us.
And there's ways to support an individual student. There's ways to support the school. There's ways to contact your pastor.
Yeah.
And I'd encourage you, if you're not currently involved as a church in Santa Fe Christian School, give them a call. Get involved, because it's going to be a great resource for the entire Christian community.
Absolutely, Jim. I had a couple in our church approach us about 2 weeks ago, and they just said, we've prayed about this, and we want to send one kid. We want to sponsor one kid to go to the school. And it's just amazing to hear things like that. People who recognize that, again, what you're investing in here is something of much greater significance than so many other things where you could put your money. This is a human life. This is a young life. And this is an opportunity to really set our kids on a trajectory for success, and much more than even just in a career, to set them on a trajectory where they can experience and come to know the love that God has for them.
Vince, I have really high expectations for our young people.
I do too.
So I'm thinking in my mind, going back to what you said at the beginning of the show, about people having a purpose. So I'm imagining a Native American child coming in, going K through 6th at Santa Fe Christian School. What kind of impact could that child have in their community just going to Christian school in these early years?
Well, I mean, regardless of their background, regardless of their race, again, our hope is that we want to develop these children. We want to develop them spiritually, academically, socially, physically, through the truth of the gospel, so that they can go out and be missionaries for the kingdom, mm-hmm. so that they can go back to their families who may be unsafe, so they can go back to their communities, so that they can go on to accomplish great things. And so, again, I'll speak to my own experience as, again, a young, a child in Española, a young Hispanic kid who grew up in a single parent family, who by God's grace has gone on to be involved in some incredible things and to accomplish some things. But again, I do think back to the meaningful input that so many people had in my life, especially in those formative years. And that's where, when I talk about the importance of this primary education, I'm speaking from my own experience, because things statistically, I know, could have gone very differently from me. I could be in a very different place, in a very different position where I am now, but for the grace of God, and but for the support and the love of those who decided to invest in me along the way.
Lots for our listeners to pray about with Santa Fe Christian School. What should they begin praying for?
Staff.
Staff,
students, and funding.
And funding.
Staff, students, and funding. Those are the big asks right now. I shared earlier the special prayer request for tonight's meeting. Hopefully we'll have that permit from the city so we can keep things moving along. But aside from that, we're excited to hire new staff that want to come and serve our students. We're excited to welcome our students in the fall. And if you're willing to contribute and help us financially, please jump on our website and click on that donate button.
I'll be really praying about that meeting tonight. In my experience financing commercial properties, you've got all the stuff. You got plenty of parking. You got no traffic issues. In and out's pretty easy.
I learned for the first time about light pollution, which I had never heard before.
Vince, thanks for joining
us
today.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.